is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is the faith of our fathers. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the promises of God. One of my friends said the old-time religion is good enough for him, and that started me to think, just what is the old-time religion? We speak of the faith of our fathers. What was the faith of our fathers? But first I must tell our listeners that this broadcast is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many Bible study groups and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Ed, my first question is, what is the old-time religion? Of course, I know that a great deal depends on how far back we go. Should we go all the way back to Jesus in order to discover the true old-time religion?
Yes, by all means. Indeed, I think we should go back even farther than Jesus. For after all, he believed and taught those things which the ancient prophets had previously recorded. For example, the Old Testament tells us of wonderful promises which God made to Abraham. These were part of the old-time religion that constituted the faith of our fathers.
Very well. Let's begin then by asking, what did Abraham believe?
Well, strangely enough, there's a very comprehensive statement of Abraham's found in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, we read that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God.
He looked for a city? What does that mean?
In the Bible, a city is used to symbolize a government. For example, in Revelation chapter 21, the government or kingdom of Christ is depicted as the New Jerusalem, which comes down to earth out of heaven. Abraham looked for this city, the New Jerusalem.
He believed that the New Jerusalem would be established in the earth?
And the New Testament answers that question also. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul informs us that the gospel was preached beforehand to Abraham, and when God said that through Abraham's seed all the families of the earth would be blessed.
Ed, did I understand you to say that the Apostle Paul refers to the promise God made to Abraham to bless all the families of the earth as the gospel?
Indeed, that's correct.
Why, Ed, the gospel was first preached, was it not, when Jesus was born? The good tidings proclaimed by the angels, wasn't that the beginning of the gospel?
Most people think that, but actually, the same message of future blessings for all mankind was proclaimed to Abraham thousands of years earlier when Abraham was given the assurance that through his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed.
Well, if Abraham believed that, he had a very wonderful faith.
That's true enough. And the promise of God made to Abraham that through his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed contained the same message as the announcement of the angels at the time of Jesus' birth. That is, glad tidings of great joy which shall be unto all people. And that is to be expected, for the Apostle Paul explains in Galatians 3:16 that Christ was that promised seed of Abraham.
That's fine, Ed, but how are these blessings to reach the people?
Well, as we find the promise made to Abraham reiterated by one after another of God's prophets, it becomes evident that the seed of Abraham was to establish a government to rule the whole world. and that through the agencies of this government, the promised blessings of peace and happiness and life would reach the people.
In other words, Abraham expected that in the future time, God would intervene and establish a righteous control over the people and extend blessings to all the families of the earth?
Certainly. Isn't that what God's promises indicated?
But, Ed, Christ, the promised seed of Abraham, came nearly 2,000 years ago. You know that. No kingdom of righteousness has yet come, nor have all the families of the earth been blessed. Why the delay?
The answer to that question is found in the third chapter of Galatians, verses 27 and 29. Here the Apostle Paul explains that the footstep followers of Jesus of this present age are also a part of the faith seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promises. So not until the entire seed of promise has been made ready can the blessings through the seed come to all the families of the earth.
Well, how about that? But, Ed, what do you think Abraham understood God to mean by the promise to bless all the families of the earth?
Well, you see, Abraham lived only about 2,000 years after the creation and fall of Adam. To Abraham, man's fall and the loss of his paradise home was very real. To Abraham, therefore, no blessing could mean much without the restoration of life and the earthly paradise. Also, man had rebelled against God. So he, Abraham, looked for the reestablishment of the will of God in the hearts of the people through the administration of a divine government through the promised seed.
Ed, is that what all the Old Testament fathers believed? Is this the old-time religion?
Indeed it is, and we can be sure of this by their prophecies. From one standpoint or another, they all speak of this wonderful consummation of the divine plan for human salvation. In the New Testament, the Apostle Peter speaks of the testimony of all God's holy prophets and describes what they wrote about as times of restitution. Russell, this is recorded in Acts chapter 3. Would you read verse 20, please?
I will. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Very good. So instead of the earth and almost everything else being destroyed at the second coming of Christ, in the scripture we are told that it will mean blessings for all the families of the earth. You know, that is very interesting.
And this, Russell, was the faith of all the Old Testament fathers. Truly the old-time religion.
And you say that is what Jesus and the apostles believed and taught?
Yes. However, Russell, remember that the Christians of the Gospel Age are the footstep followers of Jesus, and together with him are the seed of promise. The Bible reveals that these are not to be restored to life on the earth as humans. Jesus said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
In other words, the apostles expected to go to heaven just as we've always believed.
Yes, indeed. So far as the Gospel Age is concerned, we would say that this was the faith of our fathers, the old-time religion.
But they also believed that through Christ, following his second advent, all the families of the earth would be blessed with the opportunity of life everlasting as humans right here on the earth. Is that it?
Indeed it is, Russell.
That's wonderful. The old-time religion, then, was not a matter of life in heaven for a few and torment in hell for the vast majority.
How glad we are, Russell, it wasn't. Adam disobeyed and was sentenced to death. The Apostle Paul declared that the wages of sin is death.
And he says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes, but the vast majority have never had an opportunity in the present life to learn about this gift. For this reason, God has set apart an entire age of 1,000 years, a millennium, during which the dead will be awakened from the sleep of death, enlightened concerning God's provision for them through Christ, and given an opportunity to accept Him, obey the laws of the kingdom, and live forever.
Ed, if that was truly the old-time religion taught by the prophets and by Jesus and by the apostles, you know, I can truly say that it's good enough for me.
Well, that's just the way we find it in the Bible. And it's good enough for me also. And just what we would expect from a loving God.
Friends, if you would like to be assured that there is a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea, send for and read the little book, God and Reason. It is free. The promises of God are sure. Christianity has not failed. Present world events are in fulfillment of divine prophecies and give us assurance that the kingdom of Christ is near. There is hope for those who have died in unbelief. God will not torment anyone in fire and brimstone. These are but a few of the facts established from the Bible in God and Reason. This book will truly give you a brighter hope for the future. Send now for your free copy. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for God and Reason. It will be sent to you free and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.